Manitoba coming to the final fence of the National now, and it's Crisp still going in great style with 12 stories back. He jumps it well. Red Rum is about 15 lengths behind him as he jumps it, and Dick Pittman coming to the elbow now in the National. He's got 250 yards to run, and Crisp just wandering a little off the through line now. He's beginning to lose concentration. He's been out there on his own for so long, and Red Rum is making ground on him still as they come to the line. It's a furlong to run now. 200 yards now for Crisp, and Red Rum still closing on him, and Crisp is getting very tired, and Red Rum is pounding after him. Red Rum is the one that's finishing the strongest. He's going to get up. Red Rum is going to win the National, and at the line, Red Rum has just snatched it from Crisp, and Red Rum is the winner, and Crisp is second. Lescargo's just coming up now to be third.
Still breaks your heart to listen to it, doesn't it?
It does, and we've heard it so many times, and that would have to be the greatest Grand National at Aintree. Red Rum's first. He ends up running in five, wins three, runner-up twice. The horse that ran third, a suburb away, came out and won a couple of years later, Lescargo.
And also that year, by all reports, the Grand National wasn't going so well. It was struggling for relevance, and this mighty horse called Red Rum came along, and a nation followed him. And what a great race. And as you mentioned, you still listen to it or watch it, hoping Crisp holds on, but he doesn't quite get there. But I still think race callers are you know, known for their lines, but Sir Peter O'Sullivan's call of he's losing concentration, he's been out there on his own for so long, is probably the greatest line a race call has ever said.
You might be Sir Matt Hill one day with this precedent, so just keep chipping away, mate.
He's got a grandstand named after him at
Richard
Flemington.
Pittman, as we were talking about earlier on this morning, Richard Pittman fessed up to me years later that he was the culprit because he yanked for the whip around that tiny little last dog leg, and he said that just knocked the last bit of stuffing out of poor old Crisp. And you know how you describe the silence of certain sections of the track? He said he heard nothing for as long, you know, for kilometre after kilometre. Then this little delicate sound of something got louder and louder and louder. It was Red Rum's hooves got louder.
And Daddy talked about Beecher's Brook, how big it was. If you Google image Crisp in the Grand National, there's a shot of him clearing Beecher's Brook, and he didn't touch a twig. He was a mighty jumper.
Wow, unreal.
There was clear air between him and Beecher's. He was phenomenal.
Of your Doncasters, what's your favourite?
Geez, I'd have to remember who won them now.
Was it the Racing to Win era?
I'd have to go through an honour roll, but of course TJ Smith Stakes was on the same day, so I remember calling Black Caviar beat Haylist in the TJ Smith. As far as Doncasters are concerned, I definitely remember one, and that was More Joyous. I was a big fan of hers, and it was a real bunch finish over the line, and she had to really fight it out. It was a dogged win, and I think, for memory, in that race, there was three lengths between first and eighth over the line, yeah. and she just won, and it was a really, really good race to call. So that was probably my favourite Doncaster, but I loved it because big field, you know, there was always 20 runners. I used to love seeing it. In fairness, in Sydney, you didn't see the number 20 saddlecloth very often.
Haven't seen it too often in Melbourne lately.
Well, we're going to relive some of our own favourite Doncaster moments. I might kick it off. This for me is a Doncaster I will never forget, and I don't know if we'll see anything like it again. The Great Super.
Into the straight towards the 400, Spot the Rock and Quicksilver Cindy are the two leaders coming over the rise. St. Jude pulled out is going up to them quickly. His post-elect putting in a run further out from the planet, followed by Ricochet Rosie. Superimposed right down the outside. Here comes the top weight at the 200. St. Jude, Liverstone Elaine burst through on the rail. Superimposed down the outside. Liverstone Elaine in front, but go Super. Superimposed is mowing down Liverstone Elaine. Superimposed has done it again. He's done it again.
What a freak he was. D. Beedman, 1991, 59.5. And, of course, he won those four famous miles at Royal Randwick.
Amazing. And to think that, and to be fair, Vo Rogue and Better Loosen Up had his measure the majority of his career in the Wait for Age races when they met. Three unbelievable horses. Yet in a handicap, he could actually meet horses 6, 7 and 8 kilos worse. They almost couldn't beat him.
Well, he flew right-handed and he flew at Randwick, didn't he? Like, he was an easy beat in Melbourne, Super, pretty much by those other superstars. They always beat him in Melbourne.
Second in the Melbourne Cup. So, I mean, yeah. He nearly went on to become that ultimate hero in Australian racing, didn't he? If he's not already.
Unbelievable. Oh, I do remember him getting beaten twos on one day up there. It might have even before one of his Doncaster winners. He I don't know what happened, but he was tailed out in one of those races where he was a short price favourite superimposed. He was an absolute freak. Have you had a look at the Sydney Majors today?
I have. I'll be cheering Eduardo. He's one of my favourite horses, and I was so happy to see him do what he did at Rose Hill. Geez, he's got a task, though, and hasn't James Cummings been talking the fighting talk this week as well with Bivouac?
His Aussie farewell.
Yeah, so I'm going to stick with Mugger 2 in the Doncaster, but also concentrating here on Melbourne. I love the stayers, so to have the young stayers heading towards the St. Ledger,
final,
I really like that,
and
the fact that we've got the stayers race afterwards, so it's a good day.
Now, I believe I heard Dino say that the favourite, the owners have requested to pronounce the name a little differently than Liquero, is that correct?
Yeah, so what's been really nice is I've said a couple of times on air, if you're an owner and we've been saying your horse's name wrong, please get in touch and tell us, because we'd prefer to know early on than start 50, which happens from time to time. A nice owner of Liquero. They wanted to call the horse Liquor by all reports, and they couldn't get it, so they threw an O on the end of it. So it's Liquero.
Okay, so for punters out there, he backs the favourite today, and you hear Matty Hill calling Liquero, and you're going, where the hell is Liquero? It's the same horse.
It is the same horse.
You can't win with this today, Matty.
Well, we had all sorts of dramas with Shaylo or Shayu during the spring carnival, and so we've got past that one. If we are calling your horse incorrectly, please tell us, because we're happy to do whatever you'd like to do.
Just a couple of more little quick Randwick memories. There was one year, I think it was a year we were there, Felgate, the clock in the owner's bar above the theatre for the horse got stuck on 2:05. And all heaps of owners missed their engagements because they were judging it by the clock on the wall. And the running of the Oaks, which had no audio up in the terraced grandstand, was another interesting one as well. So the little 1%ers sometimes go under the radar, but did you enjoy the intimacy of Randwick when you were there?
Yeah, I had the chance to call this day in the old grandstand, and then we went through the process of building the new grandstand. So there's a couple of years. I know, Dan, we've talked about the scaffolding they put in place for Caulfield when they were building the grandstand. We went through the same thing at Randwick and then called a Doncaster from the new stand. And I loved the old grandstand. That had something with the mounting yard at the front.
Yep.
But also, I vividly remember the day Shootout won the Australian Derby, and afterwards congregating on the lawn outside of the old members. It's the best thing to do at Randwick when it's a beautiful day just after the last, sit outside and have a Chardonnay. It's just a beautiful place to be.
You're a busy man this year, Matt, because not only are you calling the races brilliantly as you do, but you're also calling the footy.
So I've got the blockbuster tomorrow on a rival station, North versus Adelaide. So looking forward to that.
Wow, everyone will be tuning into that.
And he's also calling. He's joined I don't know how big or small the club is. Call his first All Easter gift last week as well.
Oh, did you?
And you're a part of the club. Danny's a part of the club. You did it in 2012.
Yep.
Brilliant.
So pretty special, isn't it?
It's fair. I fell in love with it. I knew it was a special event before I went there, but if you love the old school type of racing folk, you know, the old scoreboard with the scratchings put on and the gossip about who's going to win and the odds shortening and lengthening, the stall gifts are great. Great place to go.
And which runners might improve out of nowhere?
That's exactly right, sort of because they have to protect their mark for 6 months leading in.
Is it back, the stall gift? Because it was on its knees, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's done a terrific job because obviously last year nothing was held during COVID bar the racing, but stall also had to cancel. But they've got a sponsor now, Powercore, for the next 5 years. So I think stall's back. They did a terrific job under the COVID protocols. They've had a capped crowd and the crowds were there. The weather was perfect. So, yeah, it's back for sure. Mm. And a great finish. Ed Ware won the stall gift and there was plenty of theatre. The favourite got beaten and it was a really good weekend.
Did you have a flutter? Were you allowed to as caller?
I was allowed to. Unfortunately, the prices, I think they were operating at about 400%, the bookies on the hill there, and so I decided to stay out. But I would have been back the winner anyway. I might hope ran third.
All right, Matty, what's your best today then? We'll hear your preview a little later.
I'm sticking with Anavisto. I think Anavisto probably gets the tactical advantage there in race 5, but it's a bit short, and I've had a little speck at Blenheim Palace in the stayers race. It's fitter today, fourth up.
All right, very good. Matty, Great to catch up with you, mate.
Thanks for letting me dry out with you. Thank you very much.
Good calling, Clay. Yeah, it's stopped raining. So
it has stopped raining.
Make your run. We'll hear your golden tonsils a little later throughout the day with the preview and then calling all the races. Best of luck today, Matty.
Thanks, boys.
Matt Hill, the voice of Victorian Racing.